Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Jocelyn Linder was 16 years old when her father took her into the living room to deliver some devastating news. He was very sick. The Linders spent the next 4 years battling the mysterious illness with exploratory surgeries and major infections and eventually a startling discovery by Harvard researchers. Her father had a genetic mutation, and the only people in the entire world who had it were all in the Linder family. Jocelyn Linder has this genetic defect, and she writes about her experience of losing her father and trying to stamp out the mutation all in a new book. It's called The Family Gene, A Mission to Turn My Deadly Inheritance into a Hopeful Future. And Jocelyn joins us now from Argo Studios in New York. Jocelyn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I wonder if you could start by telling us more about your dad.
Oh, well, my father was, before he was sick, he was a doctor, and he was a very active person, never sick a day in his life, never got a cold. He really loved sports, and he loved dogs, and he was just a very active, kind person.
So this, when he talked to you when you were just 16 about this terrible illness that he had, or that he was very sick, it must have come as a big shock.
Oh, yeah, it really was. I think even at the time, I didn't quite understand what he meant because, you know, when I said, you know, what do you mean? He didn't know. And I remember he got very upset, you know, almost weeping to tell me that, you know, he needed my mother to come home. She was out of town at the time. And I didn't understand what had happened until years later. I actually heard a story from a family friend who had been there that weekend and had learned that and had actually taken my father to the ER the night before to extract liters of fluid out of his lungs. And he'd been having trouble breathing. So that was years later I learned that.
Sorry. It sounds very difficult to deal with, to say the least. Mm. Your father passed away in 1996?
That's right, yeah.
And he was 20 years. He was just 49, right?
Yes, 49.
So young. Can you tell us, like, what were his other symptoms? And at what point in time were you able to sort of more closely pinpoint what it was that was causing the symptoms?
In my father's lifetime, we never knew what was causing it. I mean, basically, he had this type of fluid was leaking into his body cavity called lymphatic exudate. And I guess that's pure lymph. So this is a substance that really never leaks out of the lymphatics. And, doctors were truly baffled. His heart was healthy. His organs were all healthy. There were no cancers. And there was just no idea what was going on with him. And it wasn't until, you know, very recently, actually, that they came to understand the mechanism that was causing these problems.
And so how did that happen? How did you come to that understanding?
My dad was, in his lifetime, was very actively pursuing answers, and which was very, you know, ends up being very fortunate for those of us who are now living with this condition or symptoms of this condition. And he, he really looked for people who might have some answers, and in his searching actually came across this genetic researcher named Christine Seidman, Cricket Seidman, who works at the Seidman Lab, runs it with her husband, John, and they're an amazing team. And she kind of flew into our case and became very active. And from, you know, almost, I would say 22 years ago, even, you know, longer than before my father passed away, she was very active on our case and looking into what had happened, where the mutation was, and what was causing it.
Huh. So I'm just trying to get a sense as to, you know, when was it when you actually discovered that they were able to pinpoint, like, there's this particular mutation in this particular gene that caused your father's, I mean, premature death, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. There were stages. So, yeah. You know, when I was in my 20s, I would say I was about 25. I went to Boston and I was told that they had mapped the gene. That was sort of the first big moment for us in learning something. And at the time, you know, this was when I was 25, it was about 2005. And the Human Genome Project had been published for 2 years at that point, but they were really working on this case before that. So nowadays we think of computers sort of, you know, spitting out these genomes. And at the time it was like a human, you know, going through with a microscope, looking through at your DNA, one gene at a time and one protein at a time. And I mean, just such a slog. And they came across our gene. Years later, they started to realize, based on symptoms from some of the other people in the family and symptoms that, you know, they knew from several of these other people that had already passed away, they came to understand the mechanism that was causing the complications.
Yeah. So you make a good point that technology today is different than it was even just a couple of years ago. But I wonder, there was a moment where not only was it determined that there was this very particular mutation, but that all the people in the world who had it were in your family. That it was just this tiny number of folks who you were all very closely related to. I mean, what was your reaction when that became clear?
Well, that was actually, and you know, another very slow process. We, you know, my father was in the hospital one day, and my great aunt came in clutching this three-ring binder, you know, holding the chart of her husband who had passed away in 1961 at the age of 34. And, you know, this was, you know, 30 years later, and going, you know, everyone needs to look at Nathan's chart. And everyone, you know, my uncle Nathan, my great uncle Nathan. And I remember people saying, you know, oh, tell Joni to wait in the hall. And then and actually myself taking the chart and looking through it and being just floored by the number of similarities between this death that had taken place 30 years prior and in my father. So it really was an amazing thing for me. And that was the first time we had an answer. That was like 3 years into my dad's illness. So that in itself was kind of remarkable, just to have something like something similar, you know. And then obviously right around then they started, you know, as soon as Dr. Seidman came on the case, they started searching for families that might have had something similar. You know, they were using the internet, which at the time was a brand new technology, to really, you know, search for anybody. And even up until today, we're still looking. And so far, nobody has what we have. So we kind of are realizing it was a spontaneous mutation and something that's one in a billion.
Mm. And you've been able to determine that it's in at least five generations of your family?
That's correct. Yeah. My great-great-grandmother would be patient zero.
Huh. So, and of course, in those five generations, it's including you.
Yes, I am the fifth generation. So there actually is a generation below me.
Uh-huh.
But so far, nobody in that generation, there's 23 kids and none of them have our gene, which I feel very proud of because some of that has been intentional.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about that in just a second. But
okay.
I hope this doesn't sound like an awkward question, but does this mutation have a name? Does the symptoms that it caused have a name now?
So it doesn't actually have a name. So at this point, when you publish, I think that's the point at which they're able to finally name a thing officially. It has sort of a couple of placeholder names that have actually changed over the years as the symptoms have shifted and we've discovered more and more about what's causing the conditions. And also there are several conditions that are caused by it. It's not just the one thing. So they're still working on naming it. I'm hopeful it'll happen soon.
Hmm. How is your health? How are you doing today?
So recently we learned that I have a blockage in my liver, and this is how they kind of realized what was going on with us officially. It's in a vasculopathy. So we realized that there is something with vascular pressures in the liver that are causing these conditions. And I have this blockage that's caused what they call, you know, vascular aneurysms or varices sort of running through my digestive tract. And they're dangerous because obviously they're delicate. And if they burst internally, it could cause a lot of problems.
Hmm.
But I feel very healthy, I should say that.
Oh, God, I'm glad. Okay, I'm delighted to hear that part. I keep looking back at the title of your book because I think it's very beautifully named, the Family Gene, A Mission to Turn My Deadly Inheritance into a Hopeful Future. Now, I mean, I suppose the scientific particularities or intrigue of your family's genetic mutation aside, there's also the opportunity that since you know every generation and everyone who has this genetic mutation, as you said earlier, you could try to eradicate it. I mean, do you mean by treatment or by some other means?
I actually think that this is like such an amazing thing because, you know, because we know everybody who has the gene, we do have some options. And, you know, you think of a condition like cystic fibrosis, which is 52,000 years old. It's about 26 100 generations old. You know, you have hundreds of thousands of people that carry this mutation. How can you stop it when you have that many people? They don't know each other. They're not directly related, or, you know, they are, but in this very distant way. In my family, it's second cousins. So, you know, really, we all know each other. So we're able to sort of use a treatment. There's a method called, it's in vitro fertilization using pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. So, you know, they make a blastula, which is a 5-day-old, I guess, embryo or fertilized egg, and they're able to choose which one doesn't have the gene and implant that one. So in my sister's case, she had two healthy kids. She had twin boy and girl, and neither of them have our gene.
Was that a difficult decision for her? Just even in deciding to have kids, because there would be the risk? I mean, I understand the technology you talked about, but that there would be the risk of passing on the mutation.
Well, we were lucky because Dr. Seidman mapped our gene when we were in our mid-20s. So
I see.
You know, neither of us were married at the time. So we had a little time to consider it even before, you know, we got to the age where we were married and considering having children. And I think she knew just from, you know, having what we had seen with our father, and particularly what we had seen with our grandmother, who actually watched two sons die. And she obviously didn't know she was passing this gene. But we did. And so I think we both felt we had a responsibility.
Yeah. You know, I asked, that's sort of my roundabout way of asking, because anytime there's embryonic genetic testing, it's controversial ground. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think, though, you have to also think, like, PGD is going to be, it's about to be the baby, this pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, because now they actually can do things like edit genes. So we're really, you know, we're at the precipice of some major changes with, you know, genetic technologies. And this one's going to end up being like, what? Let's bring that one back. That's easy.
Yeah. We've just got a minute here left to go. There's so much more to discuss, but I wonder, in a way, through the suffering and the mutation that your family has, and of course, no one would ever wish this upon anyone else. But you know, your family is ironically helping science understand all of us a little bit better. I mean, what's part of the hopeful future that you've written about here?
You know, I think that there are so many things. I mean, you know, one of the major things that we've learned with our gene is that, you know, the liver actually has a heartbeat, which I think is something sort of wonderful and almost poetic. And they sort of suspected it, but now they pretty much know it for sure. And, you know, I think that you can learn so much from rare diseases. So it's good. It's a good thing to study.
Well, Jocelyn Linder is author of The Family Gene, A Mission to Turn My Deadly Inheritance into a Hopeful Future. Thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you only the best and healthiest future possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.